Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Tracy Catstick. My name's Joanne and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only, and if you require assistance at any time, please key star and zero on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded, and now I'd like to hand over to Tracy. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Wessex, or good afternoon, Wessex. Tracy Catstick, Workforce Safety Advisor for the route, and I hope you're having fun this fine rainy day. Today's session is going to be part of my back to basics routine, and today I want to talk about safety conversations and planned general safety inspections. Legislation of the land. Section 2, subsection 2C, just to be really boring, of the Health and Safety at Work Act. In that, it talks about provision of information, instruction, training and supervision. An organisation should provide these as necessary to ensure, as far as reasonably practicable, the health and safety at work of its employees. Two of the ways we do this, actually, depending on who you are in the organisation, are visiting people on site, talking about safety and understanding the world in which our people work and what we can do to improve our safety culture effectively. So some people at some level have safety conversations remitted to do in the discharge of their duties, and other people have planned general safety inspections. So that's the focus of this conversation. Now, in my world, a simple safety world, is probably one of the few things that we do that are set inside the legislation of the land. Going out talking to our people and exercising that supervision, which isn't just on-site supervision, it's supervision down through the line management to make sure we're doing the right things. So if you are the leader of men, i.e. route director down to IME, or equivalent, you will be tasked with doing a number of safety conversations throughout the year. If you are a line manager, or even a safety rep actually, below that level, then you will be tasked with doing planned general safety inspections. All of which can be registered on the app, so the forms can be filled in, put on the apps, so we've got a record of those inspections. So, I'll deal with planned general safety inspections first. A business unit should have a plan of who is doing a planned general safety inspection, when they are doing it, and a number. And I think the number agreed upon in today's world is not as a result of a standard, but agreed upon by the line management of that business unit. Now, we do have quite a lot that are done within a period. Whether we are doing the right ones is a different thing altogether. I think something like 40% of planned general safety inspections are done on vehicles. And I do know that in some of the DUs, there's some stars that account for something like 20% of that DU's planned general safety inspection. And the one that springs to mind at the moment is Scott Curtis from Woking. So, if I was a section manager, I would want to be out with my staff. I would want to know whether they were working safely. and that isn't a discussion inside the depot, that's going out with them. I would want to know that we had provided them with a safe system of work that was fit for purpose. I would want to know that we were compliant with manual handling regulations. I would want to know that they did have the PPE and were wearing the PPE that I had bought. I would want to know that they had the right tools, they were in a fit condition, and they were using them properly. I would want to know the same about the powered plant as well. I would want to know about the location in which my people were working, because I am interested in their safety and their welfare. And sometimes if we don't look at stuff, if we don't pick that stone up and give it a poke underneath, we assume that everything is okay because nobody moans or complains or grumbles, or things happen without people being aware they need to talk to us. And our staff don't always report close calls over the things that really matter. So plan general safety inspections. The plan should be held by the business unit. They are planned, so it's not rock up and do it willy-nilly. But to be fair, I don't care as long as I've got section managers and supervisors and line managers who are going out with their high-risk staff and checking that they have everything they need and are behaving safely, or are not being compromised either by anything the business wants, anything I want, or what they think is the right thing to do. Any questions so far?
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you'd like to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. We have no questions coming in, thank you.
Management of contractors, and there is a standard that talks about management contractors. Just because we buy in a contractor to do some work does not mean that we do not have to check on their discharge of their duties on site. So you cannot offset all your responsibilities to a contractor and not rock up and check that things are okay. That's specifically if you are buying in contingent labour contractors. If you are buying in contingent labour contractors, they are in effect your staff. So that brings me on to the safety conversations. Now, safety conversations used to be management safety tours. Safety conversations are when the leaders of this organisation go out into the field and talk to staff. They are mandated to do this a number of times a year, minimum of 12. Some roles have four actually throughout a year, and some of our managers, senior managers, have volunteered to do some more. So this isn't about senior managers coming out and finding things wrong and being negative. This is about senior managers, leaders of our organisation, going out into the workplace. Now, I say the workplace, what I actually mean is what's referred to as, in the training, the field, and talking to the people who are doing the work that we require them to do in their environment, and not in our environment. These are not to be confused with safety briefs, and they're not to be confused with safety hour conversations. Used to be a management safety tour, and it's now about a safety conversation, and there are training courses through Oracle that can be booked to assist any of our senior managers who need some assistance with how to discharge that. There is a plan. Some of our senior leaders have agreed to do so many a year, and as I said, minimum of 12. This is really, really important. We're, the decision makers of our organisation really do need to hang out with the guys at the sharp end, as they call it, and understand what they do, how they do it, and what they need to improve either the management of the work or safety processes to improve our safety performance and culture. Now, Network Rails has a lot of information about this floating around on the internet. And it's based on focusing senior managers' attention on the causes of accidents. And the reason that is important is if there is an accident, 9 times out of 10, there are many reasons that have come together to allow that to happen. So the purpose of going out is to understand what is really going on our workshop, to understand the impact of management decisions, and to show visible leadership to motivate the workforce. So it's got to be out in our workforce environment, not in the shiny briefing room. So basically, chaps, we need to up our performance in this area. We need to make sure we are conducting PGSIs and safety conversations to understand our workforce and make sure we are making the right decisions and not leaving it to them to close call problems, but enter into a dialogue to make sure we are fully aware of the information we need to make decisions in this wonderful organisation. So, this is all I have to say on the subject. Have we got any questions, Joanne?
We have no questions that have come through, but just a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please key star then 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. And we have no questions that have asked. We've just had a question that's come through. And it's come from the line of...
Ivan from the Asset Protection team.
Thank you. Please go ahead. You're live in the call.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tracy. I hope you're well.
Oh, I'm well, Ivan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm just trying to wonder how your PGISIs impact on asset protection works. We normally have our contingent labour staff that monitor our worksite, as you're aware. And they do PGIs and they do topic inspections. Is this something different to what you're discussing at the moment?
Right. So tell me specifically again who does what. So you have got contingent labour that do what for you?
They monitor our work sites adjacent to the railway or under the railway or on top of the railway or even on the railway. And depending on the program, length of program of the works, they will carry out either topic inspections, which, depending on the topic itself, it could be on welfare facilities, ladders, scaffolding, and they also do planned general inspections, which is a much more in-depth audit of the sites. And this is done on a periodic basis.
Okay, so you employ contingent labour to check on work sites, and the sites they are checking on are those done by third parties, effectively, isn't it?
Correct.
So how those third parties are interacting with our infrastructure?
Correct.
Right. Contingent, so you employ a number of contingent labour to do specifically a planned general safety inspection plus work activity inspections. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, Chris, yes.
Right, okay. So, this is always the interesting one, isn't it? Who checks the checker?
Yeah. So, in regards to who checks the checker, I've asked my staff who run the relevant projects to do one every period to make sure that the guys who are doing it correctly. Now,
that's,
I'm assuming
yeah,
that's correct.
Wrong. Right, so you've got direct employees of Network Rail making sure that, A, your contingent labour staff are working safely.
Right.
And they are discharging what you want them to in terms of the contract, and they're interacting with the third party.
Correct.
And that is one each per period.
Yep.
Sounds like you got it nailed, Ivan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have no further audio questions, Tracy. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Take care.
Thank you for joining. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a very good day. Thank you.